Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Right, we are joined on the line by Mrs. Prudence Poswell, who's a counseling psychologist based in Johannesburg in Boksburg. Good afternoon to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Brother Zama. How are you doing?
I hope you're well today.
I'm well, thank you.
Fantastic.
I hope you're well too.
Well, I'm definitely good. Can't complain. Well, I'm so happy that we have to catch up again, talking about the very important subject, the long-term effects of divorce. And last week we did the introductory, discussion on the research and the paper that you looked at in as far as this subject is concerned. Please do just recap for us for a moment, and then you can take us through this today's discussion.
Yes, of course. So the title of the study is Young Adults' Perception of How Parental Divorce During Childhood Has Influenced Adult Functioning. Mm. And last week we just touched on what the study did, an introduction of the study, and looking at the stats that are growing, as well as just the research question and aim and what we were trying to do with the study. And what we'll be talking about today is divorce and changes in the family structure.
Mm-hmm. Now, yes. So you're saying that we're going to be talking about the divorce and the changes in the family structure?
Yes. So the changes in the family structure that come about as a result
of divorce. Okay. Right. Yeah. All right. You can please take us through.
Yeah. So when children are born, and just to say that the purpose of the study is looking at couples that are going through a divorce that have children. Mm. So it's not necessarily looking at children who have always been raised in single parent childhood, in single parent households, or parents, so it's just specific for those who are going through divorce and raising children in that process.
I see. So these are children, if I get you right, Prudence, I do apologize for interjecting there. So these are children who've grown up with mom and dad in the same household.
Yes,
and then who then have to experience this traumatic, event in their lives.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Thank you for that.
Right.
So, and as you are saying that, now I'm thinking that, children grow up in an environment this environment teaches them something about who they are. Mm-hmm. They become comfortable in that environment. They develop in the environment. They gain a sense of belonging. There's a lot of things that develop because of how you are raised.
Yes.
And these children are raised in families that have both mom and dad. There's relationships between mom and dad that they are witnessing. There's relationships that they form with mom, the relationship that they form with dad, the family relationship, the sibling relationships. There's just so much relational activity that is going on there, forming who they are and forming their sense of belonging within this family structure, So the dissolvement of that becomes very tragic to the child, because it brings about questions about what were we doing, what was happening here, who am I, where do I belong after all of this has now happened. Because remember, parents provide resources. In fact, they are resources themselves, that are essential for children, because they provide support, guidance, supervision, practical assistance, information. They provide a lot of things. And when the divorce happens, it impacts their level to which they can be resourceful to their children. And I just wanted us to talk today about some of the things that could happen following the divorce, or rather following the dissolvement of the family structure and forming the different now family structures that we come about.
Mm-hmm. Now, before you get into that, I really am interested to hear what's going to come. I'm looking at the family structure, and you... I think it looks like your focus has been on the nucleus family, that is mom, dad, and children.
Yes.
not aunts and uncles who sometimes, from time to time, would come into the family. Sometimes during holiday, they've got to go and visit umamkulu, ubabomkulu, etc. Those are the people who are a support structure to this particular family. So what you're saying is that it's just only this family, mom, dad, and the children.
So for the purposes of this study, we were looking at just the immediate family.
I see.
The nuclear immediate family, which is mom, dad, and children.
I see. All right.
Yes.
All right.
So some of the things that might come about because of the separation of the, or rather the change in the family structure, is that the interactions between one parent, or for an example, the interactions between father and child significantly decrease. And this is if children then stay with mom.
Yeah.
And the other way, then vice versa, if children stay with dad, the interactions between mother and child decreases significantly because the physical presence has changed, you know?
Yeah.
And this impacts the child significantly. Remember that the child had formed an idea of how things work for themselves, how things work within the family.
Right.
And this is now changing, because when I used to see dad every day, or when I used to see mom every day, I can't anymore. You know, I can't just go to my mom when I need them now. I need to go via, you know, the specific systems in place, which I'm also still learning. But the most important thing is that the interactions decrease significantly. And this can have then a negative impact on the development of the child.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing is that, remember that as parents, we function based on where we are living, you know, based on the environment that we are in. The environment influences significantly even our parenting style. So an example of this is that if you think about parents that grow, that raise their children in a place where there's a lot of talents, you know, they might be very strict in terms of you must be home at three, you know, you are not allowed to, you know, because of the environment where they are. There are specific things that they are going to emphasize on and not emphasize on. And this then also is the same with two-parent household versus single-parent household, where the control and the support and many other things are varied, you know, they are different based on where the children are raised. So you find that there's also changes that come about in the parenting style of the parents themselves, you know, where parents probably used to rely on each other for certain things, or were able to do certain things differently because of the environment. They now need to change, and this becomes a shock to the child. You know, the level of support and the level of control significantly can reduce, especially for the parent who is no longer physically present at all times. But remember also that divorced parents are more likely to be less supportive. Research has told us that divorced parents are more likely to be less supportive, less controlling, less involved than still married parents. And this is because, remember, they are going through also the emotions of their own divorce. You know, there's a lot that is happening for them that impacts the quality of their parenting as well to their children. But especially in our South African context, what we see is that the financial impact, you know, being in a household that has two incomes, it's significantly different to being in a household that has just one, you know, because now parents are separated. They are running two households because one is that side, the other one is that side. And the income has not changed, you know, so you can imagine that the lifestyle in a way also takes a knock. And children now need to let go of certain things. They need to become accustomed to a certain way of living that they might not even be comfortable with. Parents needing to take additional work because they are struggling financially to meet the demands of the new unstructured, or the new structure of the family that has developed. So this also impacts and does need to be adjusted to as well. But remember, when parents divorce, sometimes others want to remarry, you know? Now there's a new partner in the mix who might have not been a parent before, or is a parent before, but it has never been a parent to this specific child before, you know? And they need to now come into this situation. It becomes even more difficult if the children are really badly wounded by the divorce, you know, because now they are fighting for the attention of this one parent. And now it's like, you are taking our parent away from us. There's an intrusion, you know. However, new partners can also provide an additional set of eyes and supervision within the whole parenting dilemma. But also, that all is something that needs to be adjusted to, especially for the children who are going through this as well.
Now, Prudence, do you find that parents who've gone through the divorce and, you know, especially the parent who now lives with the children, do you find that they perhaps over incentivize the children because of the situation? So when they would probably have been strict on certain issues, etc., now they're no longer as strict. Or, you know, for instance, in terms of getting children some nice things, gadgets, clothes, etc., now they go overboard so as to just try and make the children feel a little bit better. Or do you find that it's not necessarily the case?
It definitely can be the case, you know, where you find parents who are overcompensating, you know. You know, this topic of parental divorce and the impact that it has on children is a topic that has been discussed quite a lot, you know. So parents are aware that this might be impacting my child negatively, and to try to assist my child, I'm now trying to do more so that I'm trying to heal an emotional wound with material things, you know. And you know, sometimes that might come from a well-intended place, you know. Is that even the correct English? But the intentions of the parents might be pure, but that might not necessarily be the best way to confront the emotional wounds of the child.
I've actually noticed that in certain instances the one parent may want to still keep the good memory of their other, you know, the other parent who's not here in good place. So you know, I remember one case where these parents were divorced. The mom remained with the children. You know, the guy would forget about birthdays and all of these important things. She would then have to go and buy gifts and stuff like that and say, "Your dad said I should actually give you this," to try and keep a good memory of their you know, father. In other instances, the remaining parent would say, "Oh, your dad was the worst thing that has ever happened." In your research, how has this panned out?
That is actually something that is very important, Brother Zama, because remember that as children, we have needs, you know, emotional needs, where we want our parents to be the best parents. Think about as a child, when someone says, you know, your dad can't do 1, 2, 3, even if he can't, you become wounded,
yes.
And it becomes even more so when you are hearing negative things, irrespective of how true they are, from one parent about the other parent. You know, this creates a lot of anger, a lot of animosity, because what you actually need is not being done. So it is very important that parents continue to maintain civil relations with each other, especially in the presence of the children, but also maintain a good name for the other parent when communicating with the one child. Because remember that when we started, we spoke about the importance of the parent-child relationship.
Yes.
And that it becomes a resource and a vehicle for the child to move, to progress, and to develop, you know. And when the one parent injures this relationship, the parent-child relationship of the child and the father, or let me say it like this, when the mom, this is just an example, when the mother injures the father-child relationship, they are injuring the resource of the child to progress in life, you know. And it is important to always remember that and to keep that in mind all the time. Because this person might not have been the best partner, you know, but as a father, they need to be a good father, even if they were not. But you need to facilitate a process where if there are gaps in the fatherhood, you assist, because you are doing it for for the child.
Mm. And in instances where the father, you know, keeps disappointing, you know, the child, because now the father, for instance, would have to come to a school, you know, activity, and the father doesn't show up, and then there's supposed to be this event, perhaps at church, and the father is supposed to be here for this, you know, graduation. The father is not there. Then the mother then decides, you know what? Instead of my child being subjected to this disappointment and hurt, I'm just going to close this guy off. Is that a way to protect the child? Could we say we do accept that, at least so that this child does not grow up with scars of continuous disappointment? Let's just block this other parent.
Yeah, look, we are born with the adjustment difficulties that we are talking about. Mm-hmm. Even the married or the previously married couple go through them, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it becomes difficult for some partners to adjust, find their feet, and continue providing the essential needs that their children need, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why you find people after divorce, the other one is not taking care of the children and they are not doing what they are supposed to be doing, you know, because the adjustment challenges are real, even for the adults that are going through this. Mm-hmm. While it might not be the best way to make the decision as the one parent to cut off the other parent, I do see where the logic comes from, you know, but that is not entirely the best solution. Yes, it is true that it hurts the child to continually be disappointed because they have expectations, promises are being made and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But when it will hurt the child even more to discover that the one parent has cut off access between me and the other parent. Because remember what we said, the need of the child is to connect with their parent,
yes.
And the one parent blocking that and saying there's not going to be that anymore hurts the child even more, because the child always has hope, you know, they're always looking forward, they always believe the best in their parent. And if the one parent then decides to do that, it hurts that and it bruises the hope and the well-being of the child.
Mm-hmm. You know, having gone through, you know, some social media pages and some certain discussions that go through, I have discovered, in fact, I was looking at this a couple of weeks ago, where this child now has grown. They are in their maybe 20s, late 20s. And they look at their mom or dad, and this is just misery. And they suggest that, mom, isn't it time that you now find someone in your life? You've done your part. We need now to let you go. Because, yes, we're looking at the child and the impact there. However, it seems that with the parent as well, the life in certain instances may stop because now they want to compensate on this and they want to be available for this child to the detriment of their own well-being, even to the extent of being healthy for these very children that they want to live for.
Yeah. And you know, what you were saying is something that came out beautifully in the study, you know,
right.
Because as children become older, there's a lot more that they are able to see and understand for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this also goes back to answer the question that you just asked previously about cutting access because of a parent not being so involved.
Mm-hmm.
But when the child becomes older and they're able to reflect and to say, you know what, I understand why my dad did it. You know, even though it hurt at the time, but I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that it was for the best that that had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes as a parent, you protect children because of the stage of development that they are in, not exposing things as brutally honest as they are.
Yeah,
because as they understand and as they grow and gain the language to put things into perspective, the things become better and healing comes from that, you know. So I think it is important to understand where children are at and what I need to be able to be doing in terms of support because of where the child is at right now.
Well, Prudence, to wrap up our conversation this afternoon, this has been eye-opening, I must say, very, very much eye-opening. And I do hope that out there you are enjoying this conversation. And if you have anything to contribute, a question or anything like that, please do drop us a text. Now, to close off, Prudence, you know, there are certain instances where, I think you did mention this earlier, where a parent would then remarry or get another spouse. There's been divergent views on this. Others would say, well, all the better for the parent, for the child, because, I mean, this is now a huge change in the family structure where the child now will have two sets of parents on both sides. So there's mom and dad, there's mom and dad. So when there's events, the one ex-spouse come with the new partner and the other one comes with a new partner. So there's now four people. Do you think that this creates a stability in the child's life, or we better just leave the outside people and concentrate on the actual parents? Because some have said that the more the better. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your view?
Look, the idea and what we all want is that children grow up in happy, healthy marriages, you know. When we are unable to obtain that, many other things can happen. Whether we get married or we don't get married, you know, there's neither good or bad in some of the decisions that follow after that. What is important is how we manage them, you know. And that then determines whether this can be good or not good for the children. Because if both parents decide to remarry, but rather than having an extra pair of eyes for supervision for the child, the new spouses are now taking the parents away from the children. Then it becomes destructive, you know, and it does not become, it does not necessarily aid or help the child to develop wherever they need to be developing. So I think it's about management and how we ensure still that the needs of the child are still met. The child is still taken care of and still seen, is heard, and what they need, they get.
Beautiful. Well, Prudence, we have made our time, and we do want to thank you so much. Prudence Poswa is a counseling psychologist based in Johannesburg. We do want to say thank you so much for your time once again, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Brother Zama. I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.